The following contest is scheduled for one fall. Please welcome Mr. Freds.
How's it going, everybody? This is King Ricky Rose, your general manager and host of Kings of the Rings podcast, and it's time to kick it a little old school and go back in time with the Fretzelmania podcast exclusively here on Wrestle Addict Radio, The Cure, for the Common Wrestling Podcast.
What is up, peeps? Welcome to episode 153 of the Fretzelmania podcast. I am the North American treasure, your second favorite Canadian, Mr. Fretz. Today, I'm reviewing WrestleMania 2000, aka WrestleMania 16. Hang on. This is the video game music. Hold, please. Dang it. That's the Game Boy version. Will someone get me the right tape here, please? That's better. Yes, folks, it is WrestleMania 2000 from the pond in Anaheim, California. As you cannot tell by this totally not Snoop Dogg pay-per-view theme here. Yes, WrestleMania 2000, right smack dab in the middle of the Attitude Era, we got a stacked card for you. Well, kind of stacked. There's only one singles match on here, and that's between the Cat and Terry Runnels, and that's not even technical wrestling match. But we have Head Cheese versus TNA. We got the Boss Man and Bull Buchanan versus D'Lo Brown and the Godfather. But wait, there's more. Kurt Angle puts up his Eurocontinental Championship on the line against Chris Benoit and Chris Jericho in a two-fall match for each belt. There's also a historic ladder tag team match with the Hardys, the Dudleys, and Edge and Christian, and in the main event, a McMahon in every corner for no good reason. We got Triple H defending the WWE Championship against The Big Show, The Rock, and a returning Mick Foley. Strap in, folks. This is gonna be a beefy one. First, jumping in the Wayback Machine, call this a 24-bell salute. Shout out to you Patreon OGs. In movies, we have the first, Final Destination, giving us all anxiety about driving behind lumber trucks. Also an animated, underrated or overrated or perfectly rated movie, depending on who you ask, Road to El Dorado. We got Romeo Must Die and The Filth and the Fury Sex Pistols documentary. Ryan, Andrew, Harley, this one for you. In music, we got Down with the Sickness by Disturbed, Oops, I Did It Again by Britney Spears, Leader of Men by Nickelback, the precursor to their all-time smash hit, How You Remind Me, but this one flies under the radar, underrated, very, very good, and American Pie by Madonna. In video games, Wario Land 3 for the Game Boy Color, I Can't Die, Herbie 64, The Crystal Shards, and a little game in Japan that nobody liked called The Legend of Zelda Majora's Mask. Meanwhile, in WCW, we had Uncensored 2000. Yes, this took place in March, and WrestleMania is in early April. No WWE pay-per-view for April 2000, but... oh boy, oh my lord in heaven, Uncensored 2000. Mance, how did you do it? How? So, we have the artist, formerly known as Prince Iaukea, with Paisley, defeated Psychosis to retain the Cruiserweight Championship. Norman Smiley and the Demon beat Lenny Lane and Rave. Bam Bam Bigelow beat the Wall Brother by DQ. Brian Knobbs beat 3Count to win the Hardcore Championship in a Hardcore Gauntlet, because 3Count, Evan Courageous, Shannon Moore, and Gregory Shane Helms were the co-holders of this title. Billy Kidman and Booker beat Harlem Heat 2000. That's Ahmed Johnson and Stevie Ray, accompanied by Cash and Jay Biggs, a.k.a. Clarence Mason. Vampiro beat Fit Finley in a Falls Count Anywhere match. The Harris Twins beat the Mamalukes to win the Heartland Tag Team Championships, Dustin Rhodes beat Terry Funk in a Bull Rope match. Sting beat Lex Luger in a Lumberjack match. Sid beat Jeff Jarrett to retain the world title. And in the main event, in the year of Our Lord 2000, fresh off of the Y2K threat, we have Hulk Hogan defeating Ric Flair in a Yavapai Indian strap match. I do not need to elaborate about the Yavapai strap match. Just go to YouTube. There's Botchamania clips. There's YouTube poops. There's everything about this ridiculous, terrible, stinking match. So, WrestleMania 2000. It took place April 2nd, 2000, in the pond in Anaheim, California, now known as something else, the Honda Center, I think, home of the one-time Stanley Cup champions, Anaheim Mighty Ducks. Yes, I call them the Mighty Ducks. Suck it, Disney. We have approximately 19,700 fans in attendance. We got a buy rate of 824,000, approximately. And this was what I call the Dave's Basement Era, as this is one of the many pay-per-views that my friend group and I gathered in my buddy Dave's basement to watch, complete with, you know, pizza and snacks and just hanging out with my high school peeps. April 2nd, 2000, I was in the middle of 10th grade. I was about almost a year out of my spinal surgery, so I was recouping from that very nicely. And we watched... this was one of the pay-per-views we watched that year. We watched Backlash later in the month, SummerSlam. We watched the return of Stone Cold, so that would have been No Mercy and Survivor Series, Armageddon. We watched a lot of pay-per-views, so we would just chip in some of our allowance money, or some of us had part-time jobs. Like I was doing, was I working? No, I still wasn't working at this point in time. I may have got my paper route back later in the year, but yeah. Dave's Basement Era. This was such a good time. Kicking off WrestleMania is Ice-T wrapping D'Lo and the Godfather to the ring. Pimpin' ain't easy, man. Pimpin' ain't easy, man. And in case you didn't realize, pimpin' ain't easy, man. This, of course, was one of the tracks on the WWF Aggression album. And in the immortal words of the late, great Kurt Hennig, there's only one thing that I hate, because it's a bunch of crap. I hate rap. But in reality, I'm indifferent to rap, but this album fucking sucked. It was abysmal. Run DMC DX was fine, but the rest, no. So the Godfather and D'Lo Brown, Pimps or Us, go up against the Boss Man and making his WrestleMania debut, and ironically his only WrestleMania appearance, Bull Buchanan. Of course, Bill Buchanan's legacy continues in NXT with, good Lord, who's his son? Now I'm going to drive myself nuts here. I think it's Brooks Jensen, but I'm going to look up. Yes, it is Brooks Jensen, Benjamin Buchanan. He was born a year and a half after this WrestleMania. Oh, man, I'm old. Yeah, I'm turning 40 in a month and a day at the time I'm recording this. So this is going to be a theme going through the rest of the show. This was a quick nothing match, fairly heatless. Godfather gets a Ho train. Baby faces get a couple of hope spots in. But we get the Boss Man Slam by Ray Traylor and an impressive guillotine leg drop from the big man for the win. You know, Bull Buchanan's like, what, 6'6", 6'7", 320 pounds, or at least he's billed at that. This dude could go. For a big lad like that, he was extremely agile. He was very impressive in the ring when it came to like the top rope leg drop, or that he even did this one flying scissors kick from the rope, and it looks like he was just running in midair. A springboard clothesline. Yeah, this is just a quick nothing heatless match. I think would have been better served on Monday Night Raw. Backstage, WWE Champion Triple H is with the brand new women's champion, the woman responsible for women's wrestling in the WWE, Stephanie McMahon Helmsley, who just this past week on SmackDown, on the timeline here, beat champion Jacqueline to win the championship thanks to interference from Tori. And Stephanie would hold this title for, what, 6-7 months from now? Excuse me. Hydrate yourselves, kids. They're adorning over their championships and basically saying that, yeah, the title's going to stay in the McMahon-Helmsley faction tonight. Also in the dressing room, we got Jimmy Corderas and Tim White are going over the rules for the upcoming 24/7 Hardcore Championship Challenge, where, you know, you got to pin the champion, and whoever has the title at the end of the 15-minute time limit will be the Hardcore Champion. It could change hands a number of times, one or two or five, or whispers in his ear, or yeah, or none at all, Crash. So, 24/7 rule is in effect here. And the rumor and innuendo is that this match here was going to serve as the end of the 24/7 rule for the championship, despite it just starting like 6 weeks ago. So in this get everyone on the card match, I say that like it's a bad thing. It's not. Look at the tag team showcases last year. Men's tag team showcase was a banger. Women's tag team showcase, WrestleMania Night 2, banger. So, yeah, a get everyone on the card match is awesome. Just look at the six-team ladder match. It's going to be a giant cluster F and so, so fun. In this battle royal, the rules are, there's a 15-minute time limit. Title can change hands. You got to pin the champion. And we go from there. In this match, we got the Mean Street Posse saving the show. The APA, Kai and Tai, the Headbangers, making one of their last appearances as a tag team, I think. Kaz, Viscera, Crash Holly, and Bob Holly. Now, I'm just going to go over the title changes here. I'm going to try not to get into the specifics, or I'll do the best I can here. But the title changed hands a whack of times here, so bear with me. Almost right away, Taz beat Crash with the Taz Plex. And then Viscera beat Taz with a World's Strongest Slam. Funaki and Viscera with a big assist from the APA with a 2x4 shot and a flying clothesline by Bradshaw. So Bradshaw put both of Kai and Tai on top of Viscera for this pin, but Funaki was named the champion, and he absolutely smokes Taka right in the face, taking exception to this. And they just start scarpering to the back and are being chased. Eventually, Funaki is pinned by Rodney of the Mean Street Posse. Joey Abs immediately puts his vest on the floor and hits a gut-wrench suplex on Rodney to win. Then Thrasher Then Thrasher beat Joey Abs. Pete came in. I think either Pete or Thrasher came in with like a drink cart and just smoked a guy. Pete Gas was busted wide open. He was gacked to hear something fierce. He beat Thrasher for the hardcore title. And just this immortal shot of him quickly celebrating with the blood coming down his face was, it should be in all those, WrestleMania's immortal kind of vignettes. And then I think Crash beat Thrasher, Paz beat Crash, Crash beat Paz. And then the ending here, my God, the ending here was, I think it was supposed to be at the end of the time limit, Thrash would still retain the title. Or Bob would, something here, but the timing was off. And on top of that, like the 3-2-1, there was supposed to be like a three count in there, and it got botched. It was such a mess. I mean, I think, Crash was supposed to retain due to the time expiring, and Bob smashed his head with a candy jar, and Crash left with the title, but then Tim White took it back from him and gave it back to Hardcore. And on top of that, Tim White cut his hand open on the glass. This was a mess, but I mean, at least it was somewhat entertaining, because I love the 24/7 shenanigans here. They're so much fun. I mean, we've already been to the playhouse. We've already been to the airport and the hotel. There's a lot of things that you can do with this, but they botched this one up something fierce. But the Mean Street Posse was here, which means WrestleMania is partially saved. We see footage from WWE's WrestleMania access, including a cameo from the then injured Undertaker, who was about to make his comeback. Backstage, we see Al Snow in the men's room and says he has a surprise for Steve Blackman. And then the toilet flushes. And then Steve's like, no, not tonight. This is WrestleMania. And I didn't notice this. 24 years after the fact, I finally got a good look at Al Snow's t-shirt here. And it was a Tracy Smothers Thug t-shirt. One of the greatest promos of all time. T is for terrible, H is for hell, U is for ugly, and G is for jail, because a thug can't spell. Oh, RIP Tracy Smothers. Underrated as hell. Yet again, backstage, we see a gratuitous close-up of Trish Stratus's cleavage, getting quite possibly the biggest pop of the entire night. Peston Albert against Head Cheese. Steve Muffuggin Blackman is here to save WrestleMania. But, like the other tag team match here, a quick nothing match that TNA win with a press slam by Albert and a flying elbow by Test. And they win the match. Oh, by the way, the surprise that Al Snow had here. It was a little person dressed up as a block of cheese. And his trick was clapping his ass cheeks. Clapping your cheeks means something else, right, guys? I don't know. But Yeah. After this match, Al Snow says it's time to cut the cheese. Wait, did he say that? Or am I like Mandela affecting this? Anyways, they Pearl Harbor this poor little guy. Steve Blackman pump kicks the cheese. And then they do the backbreaker leg drop to the little guy. Okay. So I guess we're getting no-nonsense head cheese once again, which I'm all for. But yet again, this is something else that was better suited for Monday Night Raw. Backstage, the Cat and Mae Young. Oh, boy. So the Cat is seemingly naked in this promo. So they prep for this match by doing Austin Powers bits, where she is... The Cat's at her makeup table, changing. It looks like she's naked. I think she may have actually been, knowing how perverted Vince McMahon actually was. And then Mae Young gets this little shirt that has a pussycat on it and puts it right in front of the Cat's private area. And she, like, rubs it. We get it, Cat. We get what you're doing here. And the King is just basically having an O on the air. Like, move the Cat. Move the t-shirt. And then brings up these water jugs. Two jugs. Boobs. Next up, okay. I'm going to sit down. I'm going to prepare myself for this one, folks, because this next match is history in the making. For the WWE Tag Team Championship, it is a triple threat ladder match. The conception of the TLC match. A TLC match in disguise, according to our esteemed general manager, King Ricky Rose, whom I was talking to while watching this match. The Dudley Boys defending the titles against Edge and Christian and the Hardys. In a pre-match promo, Devon says he hates heights, but he's going to, you know, go out there and kick some ass. Bubba Ray says that he's going to take the ladder match, you know, take WrestleMania to a whole new level. I'm going to take the ladder match to a whole new level of violence. And we will all learn the three commandments of thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not kill, and thou shalt not. He almost said a swear with the Dudleys. And you can say he wanted to say the F word, but he probably would have gotten admonished live on air by Vince McMahon. And maybe he would have tore both of his quads a couple of years early. Edge and Christian coming out here, who just the other night had a banger of an I Quit match on Dynamite in Toronto. I wish I was able to go to that, but it was kind of a blessing in disguise because we had a blizzard that night. Someone even holding up a sign saying, lousy smart weather, can of Coke to you, sir. Edge is coming out in the cowboy hat, and they are nearly the douchey heels that we would come to love on TV. Give them a couple of months, and they'll just turn up there for the benefit of those with flash photography and their douchiness up to 11. So on Sunday Night Heat, there was a brawl in the middle of the ring here, and there was a ladder bump and some stuff. So there were WrestleMania debuts all around, actually all over this show, now that I think of it. So we had, Godfather. Well, he was technically a part of WrestleMania 11 with Kama. He was technically part of WrestleMania 8 with Papa Shango, both making, like, cameos. D'Lo Brown was at WrestleMania? No, D'Lo Brown was at WrestleMania 13 against the Legion of Doom and Ahmed. That Hardcore Battle Royal was full of WrestleMania debuts. And this match, everyone here, although Edge and Christian made cameos at 15, as the Ministry of Darkness trying to hang the boss, but oh boy. Anyways, Jeff is walking under a ladder on the way to the ring. What rebel. And the Dudley boys have their non-pyro-pyro theme, shout out to Christian Markle, of Wrestling Sins. I'm going to tell you right now, this is match of the night. This is one of the best matches of the entire year. And this one always flies under the radar with the rest of the TLC matches that we have come to know and love. We get a Bubba Bomb on Jeff. We have table chants right away, you impatient jerks. Chill, okay? Chill. And the ladder comes into play here, and oh boy, these boys are cooking. We get the ladder used as a weapon and a ladder-assisted poetry in motion by the Hardys. Devon absolutely yeets a ladder into Christian's face. Hashtag no yeet. Hardy boys then do a ladder lariat on Edge. Devon is slammed on a ladder, and Matt hits an elbow drop on Devon, who is under a ladder. Jeff DDTs Bubba, and then does the 450 splash with Bubba under the ladder, but Jeff ate nothing but steel on that as Bubba got out of the way. Bubba then sentons Jeff, who is himself set up on the ladder. More ladder weapon spots. Devon leg drops Edge, who is sandwiched in between a ladder. Bubba Ray with that immortal ladder helicopter spot that the King calls the Three Stooges trick. I'll give him that one. Christian has a ladder dive to the outside. Edge spears Jeff off of the ladder, an often forgotten spot due to the fact that it was outdone tenfold a year after at TLC 2, WrestleMania X7. Check out my backlog for that one. I reviewed that show like 4 times on different occasions. Matt gets a Splash Mountain Bomb on Edge, and that ceiling cam at this show is christened the Wile E. Coyote cam. You know, that big overhead shot with everyone on the ground. And yeah, it looks like, it does look like a Wile E. Coyote Roadrunner cartoon. While I'm at it, release Coyote versus Acme, you cowards. And then we get a RKO or a Bubba Cutter from the ladder. The Event Omega from opposing ladders by the Hardy Boys. ENC with a double suplex on Devon off the ladders. And then everyone gets their crash and burn spot, getting a standing O from the crowd. A 3D on Edge. A here comes the tables bit. And then Mick Foley's watching this match backstage thinking, I have an idea. Let's get chairs involved and then I'll start cooking. We get a table set in between two ladders as a platform on top for people to walk on. And then on the ramp, we get Jeff Hardy and Bubba getting a huge ladder. Bubba is then set on top of this table and this big ladder that looks like it's 20, 30 odd feet. Jeff Hardy with the death-defying swanton off of it, taking him and Bubba out of the match. In the ring, Edge and Christian and Matt are climbing that ladder table setup thing. Edge pushes Matt off of that. He does a front flip, crashes and burns through the table. And Edge and Christian are your new WWE Tag Team Champions. This match gets a standing O from the crowd. It got a standing O in the back. Everyone was glued to their seats here, and they knew tag team wrestling in 2000 was here, and it is defined by these three themes. It made history. Absolute banger. Folks, if you haven't watched this ladder match in a while, I highly suggest you do. While it doesn't reach the heights of TLC 2 the following year, or even TLC 1 at SummerSlam, And this one's just as good. If not better than the first one, at least. Backstage, we got Mick Foley and Linda McMahon, who is going to be in his corner tonight. Mick Foley is realizing his lifelong dream to a main event WrestleMania, and he's got the second chance to make a last impression, and fairy tales do come true. Next up here is our only singles match of the entire night. And it is not even technically a singles match, because you win this match by going out of the rope. The Cat with Mae Young versus Terry with Moolah, with Val Venus as a special guest referee. Val Venus is wearing his Spooge t-shirt, giving a young AJ Styles, who wasn't developmental at this time. No, he was in WCW. He was at the power plant around this time, giving him ideas for future merch. Val Venus says him and WrestleMania have a lot in common, that they're the single largest extravaganza in the world. It gets the blood pumping, and while WrestleMania comes once a year, I come every night. Spooge. Terry comes out as the She-Devil, bends over. You can see her inside. She's flossing with those panties. Cat wearing a fishnet thing. They're both trying to woo Val, and so is Mae Young, who plants a kiss on him. And Cat gets the visual win here, but then Schmoz and Val Venus and Terry wins. Mae Young Bronco Busters Moolah. Terry gets her bottom half of her clothes ripped off, and moving on. Dud, by the way, dud. Moving on, the Radicals. Eddie thinks that China has the hots for him. Can't resist my Latino heat. China denies it, but then she supplies it, suppresses it for now. So we got the Radicals versus Too Cool and China. China coming up with her bazooka entrance, a la No Mercy. Eddie is winking at China, flirting with her. The Radicals are working over sexy. We got a hot tag to Scotty. Eddie gets the stun gun to Scotty. Eddie is taunting China and then rams her. Into the ring post. Scotty sets up Dean and Perry for the worm. It is an extremely over move at this point in time. Eddie goes up top, but he is crocked, and Scotty lands a nice superplex. Perry with a beauty flying elbow on Scotty. China gets the hot tag, and Eddie tries to avoid hitting her, but then succumbs. She slams both Saturn and Dean, gets dual handspring elbows on both the guys, hits a double low blow on them, not a DQ. Eddie comes in with a cheap shot, but China counters an Eddie powerbomb with a sloppy one of her own, and then grabs his balls to do a power slam and then a sleeper drop, and the babyfaces win here. We get a dance off. Backstage, Shane and the big nasty bastard, the Big Show. You're a nasty bastard because your mama said so. Yeah, we remember when Big Show was actually deemed a bastard, right? When the Big Boss Man, behaving badly, crashed his funeral, his dad's funeral, I mean, and then begged on his mother to reveal that that wasn't his actual dad. And now he's the big nasty bastard heel. That nickname did not last long, and neither did the Big Show's heel turn here, as we will see in the coming weeks. Next up here for the Eurocontinental title for both the European and IC, we got Kurt Angle, the dual champion, one of only a few Eurocontinental champions ever, joining the likes of Jeff Jarrett and D'Lo Brown. And technically Rob Van Dam when he unified the European title. So, Kurt Angle has been built up really strong since his debut here. And he's even had Bob Backlund be on his side, at least until Sunday Night Heat tonight, when Kurt Angle attacked Backlund for suggesting that Kurt should defend both belts tonight in a two-fall match. No, it's not a best two out of three falls. It's a two-fall match. Fall one is for the Intercontinental title. Fall two is for the European title. So Kurt Angle, yeah, he attacked Bob Backlund, so that relationship is over. Great pop by Y2J. Welcome to WrestleMania is Jericho. There is a Blame Canada sign. Screw you. I can't guarantee I'll win two titles or even one, but I will walk out as the Ayatollah of Rock and Rolla. And then he talks some trash about Kirk Angel and Mr. Roboto. I'm an Angle-holic match in the crowd. Yes, me too. Though Chris Jericho gets yeeted off the top rope by Benoit, who hits a knife snap suplex on Angle. Y2J with a missile dropkick. Benoit chops and suplexes everyone. Y2J making Benoit humble with the camel clutch without breaking his back. Delayed vertical by, I believe, Chris Jericho here. A delayed vertical on Benoit. Very great spot here. Kurt Angle, who at least for a little bit was trying to adopt a submission finisher, locks in the crossface chicken wing on Y2J, but to no avail. Benoit sends Angle into the crowd and then hits the Air Canada on Chris Jericho. And we have, excuse me, a new Intercontinental Champion with the Crippler, Chris Benoit. The second fall starts right away, and this was just your classic three-way match where near falls and hope spots. And eventually, Chris Jericho makes Chris Benoit tap to the Walls of Jericho, and Kurt Angle was never pinned or submitted for either belt. This is a conspiracy. I'm going to get to the bottom of this. On stage, Mr. McMahon basically foreshadows his heel turn tonight, pal. Spoiler alert, by the way. Triple H takes exception to this, saying that I can't lose and I won't lose. The King of Rock who? The King of Rock what? The King of Rock who? The King of Rock what? We got D-Generation X, the Road Dogg and X-Pac, going up against Kane and Rikishi. We hear about Pete Rose on Sunday Night Heat, foreshadowing. Rikishi wearing his head of the table red lei, Roman Reigns in high school taking notes at this point in time. Corey slaps Paul Bearer and he makes chase around the ring. Kane boozles Tori, getting a big pop. Oh, all the abuse getting all the pops in 2000. And then King, with a one of the lines of the night with Paul, is like, Paul, don't turn the other cheek. It's just as ugly. That's funny. Keish teases the stink face on the Road Dogg. Oh, no, lands it on the Road Dogg, I'm sorry. Teases it on Tori, but her and X-Pac try to bail. X-Pac with the spin kick and the wah, just douchey Karate Kid move. Keish hits X-Pac, and he does a roll, a front roll, and gets a hot tag to Kane, who hits a Spogingo. Ding! Kane goozles Tori into the corner. You get the stank face, and then X-Pac eats a tombstone, and Kane and Rikishi win. We get a dance off with Too Cool and Rikishi and the San Diego Chicken. Kane is standing in the corner, seething, because he remembers the San Diego Chicken. He remembers WrestleMania 15, when this chicken who attacked him turned out to be Pete Rose. So he has enough of this shenanigans, let's say, with the chicken. Hey, Farber, what's the name of that restaurant you like with all the goofy shit on the wall and the mozzarella sticks? You mean shenanigans? Pistol whip him immediately. Yeah, it's not him. because while Kane goozles the tries to choke his chicken in the ring. Sorry. Pete Rose tries to Pearl Harbor him with a bat. But then Rikishi stops him. We get a choke slam and a stink face for Pete Rose. And the crowd goes to the concession stands happy. This was your penultimate match. Right here. I have cruised through this WrestleMania 2000 because this show has been... it's been mid. I mean, 2000 is quite possibly the best year in WWE history. And the granddaddy of them all just doesn't deliver. But we still got one more match, and I'm going to tell you right now, I did not watch this match in preparation of this show. A, because I watched this live. I have this on VHS. I've watched this a bunch of times. It's in my basement right now. I can go get it, but I don't want to try and hook up my VCR because I'm lazy like that. Okay. We got a McMahon in every corner. The Rock with Vince. Mick Foley with Linda. The Big Show with Shane. And of course, the WWE Champion Triple H with Stephanie. Fatal four-way elimination match for the World Championship. So we get all these guys in the ring having all their spots. The Rock eventually hits the rock bottom on the Big Show to eliminate him 4 minutes in, quite quickly. And then Mick Foley is eliminated by Triple H. We get a chair shot to the head and a pedigree on the chair, and you can hear JR just saying, "Damn it, damn it, damn it." Mick Foley waved goodbye to the crowd, but first, he went back into the ring with a 2x4 barbed wire bat and hit Hunter in the head, bang, bang, and off into the night he went. We are down to Triple H and The Rock. Yeah, the rest of this was just a cluster F because, surprise, surprise, Vince McMahon picked up the chair and it looked like he was going to hit Hunter with it. But then he turned to the other side and hit The Rock. JR with the lion saying, "That was blatant. What the hell did he do that for? Why did Vince McMahon hit The Rock in the head with the chair?" Vince's face was bloody because he was taking abuse himself earlier in the night. Hunter covered The Rock after the chair shots, but The Rock kicked out. Vince hit Rock in the head one more time with the chair. Rock had his hands up to block the blow, but it was still a stiff shot. Hunter covers for the win at 36-28. Triple H retains the title, and Vince McMahon has turned his back on The Rock. Surprise to no one. I want to thank TGRWrestling.net for handling some of my notes here. I'm saying this. This is the worst show of 2000. Granddaddy Lamal, where you could have had something special. I mean, the pay-per-view poster had the Fatal 4-Way, but with Chris Jericho taking Mick Foley's spot. Now, I have some fantasy booking as to how I would have handled this and Backlash after, despite Backlash being what WrestleMania should have been and one of the better pay-per-views of the year. By the way, I'm having a special guest, a first-time special guest on that show, coming up, well, basically a month from now. I'm going to try and have my pay-per-view reviews for that end of each fiscal month, just depending on how my scheduling goes, because, well, the busy season is upon us, folks. Y'all know I live on a beat, and the cottagers are coming. So, thank you very much for listening, folks. If you've made it this far, can of Coke to you. You can follow me on all the social medias, from Twitter to Instagram, from Blue Sky and Threads, when I remember to use them, at Fretzelmania. That's F-R-E-T-Z-L-E. Mania. This podcast is on Wrestle Addict Radio. Say it with me, kids. The cure for the common wrestling podcast. Follow Wrestle Addict Radio on Twitter at @addict_wrestle. Wrestle Addict Radio on Instagram. Sometimes I live tweet shows using the War account. Sometimes I use mine. Sometimes I've been backtracking my social media usage, which I might make a habit of post-WrestleMania. We'll have to wait and see. Please join our Discord. We're going to be reacting live to WrestleMania, watching it together, shooting the shit, having fun. Links are in the description below. There's merch featuring all of our shows, which include the Kings of the Rings podcast, The Young Lions Perspective, and Nate the Effin' Great's Brace for Impact. Speaking of Mr. YLP, Zachary, I hope you're listening. Because next week, Mr. YLP and I will be predicting and previewing WrestleMania, as well as a couple of other events that are going to be in the Philly area for WrestleMania weekend. Y'all know I like to just peek open at the curtain to shows from places like GCW and Joey Janela's Spring Break. ROH has a show WrestleMania weekend for some reason, despite only having two matches signed right now. And all that and so much more. Yes, we have merch, we have Discord, we chat wrestling, we share memes, we shoot the breeze, we talk about our lives. And we're a great community. I mean, we're here for the Common Wrestling Podcast for a reason. Why not join that? And our merch. It's really, really nice. So until then, folks, KTFN, ta-ta for now, and keep your stick on the ice.
This has been a Wrestle Addict Radio branded podcast.